morning, everybody. Today is the last in our series on finding joy, and it's about secrets. A secret. When was the last time you learned of a secret? How did it go? Today I'm going to be sharing a secret from the Bible, but let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're clear in your word. The gospel is clear. We have your message that not only saves us, but changes our life. And we pray that you will help us learn from your word that our lives may be different and changed and better with Jesus as Lord. And we pray this in his precious name. Amen. So what's the secret of being content? My plan is to spill the beans, reveal the secret. I'll try not break any rules, but some things are just too important to hide. So Paul writes from verse 12, which we read, I have learnt the secret of being content. Do you know the secret? Do I know the secret? Now, of course, the only reason I have insight into the secret is because it's written in the Bible. So what's the secret? Everybody loves a good secret. What's the secret of being content, and why content? Why be content with our lot in this world? Well, godly satisfaction is better than dissatisfaction, and peaceful happiness is better than war and coveting. So the secret. Well, to learn the secret, we begin with Paul's backstory. We begin by looking at a map that I have brought up previous sermons on Philippians. And it's important to always recall what took place before to help us understand what's taking place now in the text. And so, Paul, he's an apostle appointed by Jesus. He once hated Jesus, but by God's grace and kindness, Jesus chose him. He was transformed, and he went from hating Jesus, ignoring Jesus, to loving Jesus. And this happens to enemies of the cross throughout history. It's happened here with Paul. And he became a missionary. He travelled on four missionary journeys, and he planted several churches, including the church in Philippi. As you can see on the map, in 51 AD, it's about 50 years after Jesus' birth, so about 51 AD, and you can read all about it in the book of Acts, chapter 16. So did he settle down there? No, he carried on his missionary journeys, preaching and teaching around the Middle East until such time he ended up in jail in Rome. You see that under the red or above the red there. And from there, that's where he wrote this book, Philippians. And it arrived 10 years later with a fellow called Epaphroditus. And it arrived, and all the experts say that it's around this time, 61 AD. And so that's when it's arrived. So let's pick it up from verse 10. And I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm going to summarize it. And just so we can continue the story going. And so Paul, he wrote this letter to the Philippians, who he has great affection for. And he rejoices greatly because the Philippians were concerned for him. Again and again, they had been concerned for him, but they were unable to show it. Unlike today, we can just use WhatsApp, send him a message, ask Paul how you're tracking with a few emojis. We can do that, but they didn't have that back then. So they had to track him down the old-fashioned way and to learn of his troubles, to share in his troubles, that they might assist him. And assist him they did. Paul made it very clear there was no church like him then. in their giving and receiving, in their giving of aid to Paul, and in their giving of gifts. But Paul said, it's not that he desired their gifts. Now, he had bigger concerns than that. It's not that he desired their gifts. He was indeed amply supplied. But he wanted them to know that their gifts would be accredited to their eternal account. It would become like treasure in heaven. He wanted them to know that. He wanted them to know that their gifts were like a fragrant offering. You know, smelt really good. Fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And he wanted them to know that God would meet all their needs according to his riches. And then he ends this chapter, last chapter of Philippians, he ends this chapter by sending his greetings to the brothers and sisters with grace, including those who worked for the government, Caesar's household. That's the backstory. Okay? So what's the clue to the secret? Well, I don't know about you, but for me, did you notice how Paul spoke of both times of plenty? You know, full payment, well fed. He spoke of times of plenty, and he also spoke of times of want, hungry and in need. And you can imagine that being the case because he's in prison in Rome. He spoke of both. It's not that he wanted to be known for material need. In this passage, he makes it clear he wants to be known as content. He is content. But he wanted to show his affection for the Philippians and that we might learn the secret, his secret of being content. So let's pick it up in verse 12. So follow along as I read verse 12 and 13. So Paul says, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So what's the answer to the question? What is the secret revealed to being content? How does Paul answer this? Well, I believe he is saying that I have the strength. And so when he says I have the strength, he means God's strength through me, not me and what I can produce, but God's strength in me. He's saying I have the strength to do the things of life in times of plenty and in times of want or in need. I have the strength to do the things of life in any and every situation. Paul is not saying that he can do anything he wants. Like often this verse is misquoted. So he's not saying he can do anything he wants. He's not saying that he can become Caesar over Rome, the Roman Empire. He's not saying that he can win an Olympic gold medal if he wants. He's not saying that. What he's saying is whatever God has called him to, he can do it. He can do the great things when he feels like he's got plenty, and he can do the little things. God's strength is sufficient for him. Jesus is all he needs. He has no reason to complain. That's what he's saying. He's saying that he has learnt the secret of being content. Of course, there's nothing wrong with seeking to change your circumstances. So if you're in a position of want, you want something and it's a good thing to want, and there's an opportunity to change your circumstances to the plenty, then we go for it. But that's not Paul's point here. His point is that whatever God has called him to do, he has the strength to do both, whether it's those times of plenty or those times of want, in any and every situation. What about us? That's Paul. What about you and me? Well, if we're followers of Jesus, that is, we believe in Jesus who died on a cross and rose again, if we are followers of Jesus, we need to know that regardless of how we feel, we have been given God's strength for every occasion, for every time slot. So again, the times of plenty. So they might include times when we have, times of plenty might include times when we have lots of relationships around about us, lots of responsibility of work. Maybe we have lots of good reputation. We have the strength to live this out, to manage it. God has given us this strength to do the Christian life in those times of plenty. And we know we have times of plenty. But what about those times of want? And so examples might be we're unemployed. We're looking for a job. Other times might be we're single. We want to be married. We're single. We just want to be in a relationship. Or maybe we just want that new experience in life. We have want. And it's a good want. All those things are good. We need to know that we have God's strength through me. I have a Christian friend who said to me recently that I don't have this strength to do this trial that I'm going through. I should have said, I didn't at the time, but I should have said, correct. But God does. He has the strength for you to get through this trial. He can do it. He can carry you over that sand where your feet are constantly sinking. He can do it. So what about you? Where are you at in life? What stage of life are you at? Would you describe yourself as someone who's in a time of want? A good thing that you want? Or you are in a time of plenty? Things are going well right now. You've been given heaps by God. And we know that we have different seasons at different times and it happens. What stage are you at? Sometimes we can have plenty and we can feel so overwhelmed. We've been so blessed with so many gifts. We need to know that God can give us the strength to live out the Christian life in those times, as in the times of want. Where are you at? To be content, what is the secret? The secret is that we have the strength to be content in any and every situation. Now, here's the thing. The secret is easier to reveal than to apply. Isn't that right? Do you agree with me? The secret is always easier to say than to live out. So how can we apply the secret to everyday living? So we say, I've heard the secret. Okay, we hear all the time, it's important to be content in my situation, in any and every situation, and God gives us the strength. Yeah, that sounds great. I can say that. But why is it so hard to apply? How can I apply the secret to my everyday living, especially in those times of want? How do I do it? Well, it's not an easy question to answer, but I think it's an important question to answer, so I'm going to give it a go based on my observation, or a mixture of looking at the Bible and also looking in the Bible and involving others. I've got eight, and here they are. We'll go to the next screen. There we go. So you can see God gives strength for all occasions in any and every situation. How can we apply the secret revealed? Firstly, I think we get better at applying God's strength when we understand God's strength is a gift of grace. This sounds obvious, but for many of us, particularly in times of want, we think if I'm going to have God's strength, I've got to earn it. I've got to produce a certain quality of life where God will say, well done, here's my strength. Now, his strength for all believers is a gift of grace. It is undeserved. It's like a package handed over. So instead of Australia Post at Christmas time, it's Heavenly Post sent from God, grace, strength, sufficient, given. We've got to tell ourselves that and be careful to think somehow we've got to earn his strength as a believer. We don't. It's given. We've got to remind ourselves of that. Secondly, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to all believers, and the Holy Spirit comforts us, counsels us, and empowers us to have the strength to be content in any and every situation. Thirdly, we've got to remember that the importance of getting involved in people's lives. Now, we're pretty good here at doing that at Campsie, getting involved in each other's lives. Often it's a message for people who are getting older in life, and it's tempting to go alone in the Christian life. All the pressures and the busyness of life causes us to go alone, and that happens. But we've got to remember, if we want to exhibit or have God's grace, God's strength to be content in any and every situation, we've got to make sure that we're getting alongside each other, that we're involving ourselves with other people. See, God's strength is most evident when Christians mix together and have fellowship. God's strength is least seen when Christians try and do life alone. Or we start to have certain perspectives, like when I have plenty, then I have God's strength, but when I have want, I'm on my own. To stop that from happening, we've got to mix together and remind each other, get alongside each other. And if we're struggling, we've got to be vulnerable and share with others our struggle and ask them to pray for us. Again, I think Campsie, our English congregation, are pretty good at that. But we've got to keep working to that end. Okay, fourthly, strength to be content in any and every situation. What does that look like? It seems to me, from my observation, those who are in the habit of giving thanks in all situations appear to be those people who have the most, who are most able to apply the strength. So, we give thanks to God in times of plenty. We give thanks to God in times of want. When we're in the practice of giving thanks, and it's important to give thanks in every situation, these are the people, those of us who are able to demonstrate that we have that strength, giving thanks. Fifthly, the importance of preaching to yourself. So again, it's very easy to hear about the secret revealed, secret to be content in every and any situation. But we've also got to remind ourselves of this, preach to ourselves, fill our minds with this truth. Fill our minds with this word. Paul in verse 19 said, "My God will meet all your needs according to his riches." So all your needs is your strength to be content in any and every situation. That's what he means, all your needs. And so sixthly, practice regular Bible reading. It's an age-old truth that those, and you know this yourself, and recently I had a conversation with a couple of people who said these very things. If we're in the habit of reading the Bible and meditating on the Word, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit lifts our soul and seems to give us that extra strength in the times of plenty, when we've got to manage the load, and the times of want, when we're seeking the Lord. Read the Word. The Holy Spirit gives you, helps us to realize the strength we have when we meditate on the Bible. And seventhly, and I've already touched on this, there's nothing wrong in changing our circumstances. We want to avoid the trick of the evil one, the devil, by telling us or convincing us of the victim's mentality, that we're always going to be Christians who are stuck in want. No, there's seasons in Christianity. Sometimes we're going to be in want, but sometimes we're going to be in plenty, and we need to be able to be ready and willing and thankful to God when He moves us from that place of want. So, for example, want a job to getting a job. Maybe example of having difficulties with our health to, say, having an improvement of our health. We need to be able to go, I was in a time of want, but thanks be to God, now I'm in a time of plenty. So we need to be able to make that move and not take on the victim mentality of I'm always stuck. And then finally, most importantly, how do we apply the secret revealed to be content? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus was content with his Father. We think about Jesus and imagine what the Holy Spirit will do to our hearts when we focus on Jesus, when we see that Jesus, even though he suffered greatly, even though the authorities, the religious authorities, the political authorities attacked him brutally, he was content with his calling. He was content with the relationship with his Father. He was content with the love of his Father. Jesus, he's the main, he's the foundation of our contentment. He's the head of the church. He's the reason for the church. He's the reason why we exist. We think of Jesus, the Holy Spirit fills us, and it's amazing how much strength we get to manage in any and every situation. Now, of course, I know there's a lot here to think about, but if you're like me, one of the things you can do is just maybe pick one or two this week and try and put it into practice. And so for me, what I've been doing for years is I work hard on the preach to self. That's the great thing about a pastor, is we're always in the Bible, so I always need to remind ourselves about God's truths. And one of the things I regularly say is God's grace, his strength is sufficient for me. I have to tell myself that 1,000 times because I keep forgetting. So I put that into practice. And there's a couple other things. And I'm working hard and I need to make improvement on the giving thanks. Giving thanks in all situations. But I also work on that one. So you could do the same. You can say there's a lot there and we want to do all of the eight, but maybe this week I'll just pick one or two and I'll work hard at that one. That I might realise the strength I have to manage those times of stress, those times of desire where I just want to be content with my current state. And if you're in want, I just want to be content in my position of want, knowing that eventually God will very likely, heavenly he will, definitely, but very likely soon, in the next 6 months or year or two, put me in a place of plenty, where I'll be asking for God's strength to manage all the good things going on in my life. We need God's strength in any and every situation. And that's Paul's message from Philippians. It's one of his key messages from the end of Philippians chapter 4. Contentment. Every Christian needs contentment, don't we? In any and every situation. It does not come naturally. We don't just wake up in the morning, well, there it is. It doesn't come naturally. We've got to work at it. It's like a secret. That's why Paul used the word secret. We've got to learn it. It could be hard to learn it. We've got to put things into practice, even just one or two things a week, so that we may learn that contentment, especially in times of want. We just want something, a good thing, but we just want something. We need that strength to hang in there and be content, waiting for the Lord. And of course, in those times of want when we feel content, that doesn't always mean that we're going to be laughing and jumping around, giving each other high fives. You know, in those times of want, it's going to hurt. Please hear me. I'm not saying that, happy-go-lucky in all situations. You know, we have feelings. So you can be content trusting the Lord, but still feel like, you still feel like that want to be in another place. You can have grief at the loss of a relationship or the loss of a loved one, but still have that strength from the Lord to survive, to be content in that situation, even though there's nothing you can do about it. So we've got to recognise it's okay to feel life is difficult, to grieve. We've got to recognise that. But we have the strength in those times. God has not left us alone. He will not leave us alone, no matter how we feel. He will not. We say, I feel like he has, but he will not. He's not going to leave us alone when he sent his son to secure our salvation. He's not going to do that. That's not who he is. Again, we've got to preach that to ourselves, because we forget. I forget, you forget. Let me close with a story from a young man, about a young man who was a believer. A churchgoer. He lived a normal life. But on weekends, every now and then, he used to, he loved going to the lake. The lake was his happy place. He would splash, laugh, hang out with friends when the tide was in. Tide in, water up. He loved doing that. That was his happy place. But in time, as the day drew to near closed, his friends would go home. The tide would go out, so less water. Tide would go out, and he was angry and miserable. So his home was the closest, so he was always last to leave. As the years passed, he grew as a believer. He even attended KIC. And in some ways, his life remained the same, because it's who he was. His life remained the same. But in other ways, as he grew as a believer, his life changed. So the same, he still loved to go to the lake. He would still love to splash, laugh, hang out with friends when the tide was in, the water was up. But what changed about this young bloke is in time when his friends went home and the tide went out, instead of being angry and miserable because everyone's left him alone for that little bit, he gave thanks to God for the great day he had. He preoccupied himself until it was time for him to go home for dinner. And so he was a young bloke, he was far from perfect, but he had changed. He had grown. He had grown, rather. He had learnt the secret of contentment in times of plenty, when his friends were about and the tide was in, but also he learnt the secret of contentment in times of want, when his friends had gone home and the tide was out. Let's pray.